Good morning, good people. I'm Kiplin Primus, your host for The Local Take on Jazz 91.9 WCLK. And this week on The Local Take, I wanted to reach out to a few moms that I think can turn racism on its ear, so to speak. And these are not the moms who have the talk that has been discussed on many media platforms. I wanted to talk with white moms who have raised conscious children, you know, children that are not colorblind, but kids who are empathetic and will hopefully lead their peers, you know, into the light. And I wanted to do this because in recent weeks, two colleagues have reached out to me after virtual meetings where some of their colleagues who were white mothers emphasize their children's innocence, you know, about current affairs and the need to, you know, protect their children from what's going on. And a Twitter thread on this same topic took an unexpected turn when a young mother of a four-year-old white son explained that out of the blue, he mentioned to her, "Mommy, you can't call the police for black people. It isn't safe." He was 4 years old. So even when you think your children don't know what's going on, they do know what's going on. So there are two moms that I reached out to, Kat Keston and Lauren Waits, and I wanted them to share their stories and speak to how their children have formed true diverse friendships. And we're starting with one of my friends and a former coworker, Lauren Waits. So Lauren, welcome to The Local Take.
Thank you, Kiplin, and I will just say it is humbling to be thought of as a good mom. I think all of us feel rather self-conscious about that and certainly hope for the best.
Well, you and I have worked together for a number of years. I've been to your house. I've met your husband and your kids, and you know, your boys and your daughter are wonderful, and one of the things I've always said to other people is that your husband Art actually looked at me, and I don't know if you understand what that means.
Wow.
But I mean, I would know Art if I saw him on the street, and I'm pretty sure Art would know me if he saw me on the street. But it was because he,
yes,
you know, he actually looked in my face and we had a conversation, and you know, he knows
I'm
who
sorry
I am.
That's rare.
it is, unfortunately. So now, did you intentionally raise your children to be accepting of others, or was this more happenstance?
Oh, absolutely intentional. For me, for Art and me both, I mean, I really have to say that I can't distinguish my own parenting really at all from my husband's, other than, of course, that we have our own styles, we do things differently, and there is something that a lot of children feel about their mom that can be unique. I would say that for both of us, though, as I think of what I've wanted for my kids, it's always been intentional that they be kind, considerate people. And as a family and as a person who begins with the understanding that all people are full, complete people, teaching our kids to be kind and considerate has always meant across every kind of difference. And that growing up in Atlanta, Georgia myself, race was one of the most obvious forms of difference. So I myself was encouraged by my own parents to be a bridge person, so to speak. And I'm sure part of it is just an effort to pass along some of the things that I felt were good for me to learn.
And now you are also a woman, a white woman, who has a diverse group of friends. I mean, one of my favorite celebrations at your house is for International Women's Day, and there are black women, white women, you know, international women from Russia, Belgium.
Sure.
You know, I mean, you know, it's just this wonderful pool of estrogen that I love to be a part of every year. So is it because you have diverse friend groups? You know, is it because you were raised that way that you think it was intentional with your kids?
Yes. I would say what your listeners don't know yet, but you know about me, is that we have two white biological children, and then we got our third daughter placed with us through adoption. She happens to be African American, and although we did not explicitly choose to adopt a Black child, we decided that in Atlanta, Georgia, in the 21st century, if we couldn't rise to the challenge of raising a strong Black woman, then we weren't the kind of people we wanted to be. And so we made ourselves open to that and were chosen by an African-American family to raise their child. And she's permanently, legally ours forever. But I'm not sure I can distinguish what my life would be like and what my relationships would be like without our daughter in our lives. On the other hand, I hope that all of my interest in having diverse, you know, folks of diverse backgrounds in my life would be the same. But I have probably worked harder than many of my white women friends to really strengthen and build relationships, specifically with Black women and men, but specifically with Black women, because I wanted my daughter to always have access to people who would know more than I could possibly know about growing up as a Black girl in America. So it's a back and forth. I think our confidence to enter a world of transracial adoption came from already having known and had good friendships with people of color, many different people of color, but it's also strengthened itself along the way. And she's now 15. So we're 15 years into our own personal family growth.
Now, what do you tell other mothers? Because I'm sure you've gotten questions.
Well, the question, you know what, we get questions about how is she? That's something that I find interesting. And that's from people, you know, white people and Black people. And interestingly, I don't tend to get many questions from my Latinx or Asian American friends. I think they don't seem to feel this compunction to know more about sort of how it's going to raise a child of color in a white family, largely white family. But it's interesting to me that the sort of default assumption is that it would be rough. From what I know about we have an open relationship with her biological family, and, you know, she would have experienced some tough times growing up in their household as well. I'm gonna stop there.
Yeah,
I feel like I'm rambling.
I think that's fine. But you also, I mean, the transracial adoption is one thing, but Lauren, your family also was very supportive of your children learning a different language. I mean, your kids are practically fluent in Spanish, but it's because you encourage them, number one, but you also were able to afford them the opportunity to spend summers in Latin American countries so that they were immersed in the language, so to speak. So again, you know, these are things that a lot of other families might be able to afford to do, but they're not things that are as important as it obviously was for your family.
Yes, that's true. I do think at the core of all these things I'm talking about, and I'm very curious to hear from our other guests, I think in my case, I have always had a deep, profound interest in building authentic connections with other people across difference. That sounds like very formal language now, but I mean, from going to from my elementary school in DeKalb County, first being integrated when I was in the third grade, but even before that, from parents who were, you know, white Southern liberals. That does not mean they were free of implicit bias, but But the earliest moral message in my own family growing up was all people are equal. All people deserve to be treated, you know, in the 70s was like treated the same. There was a less sophisticated understanding of how to forge friendships across diverse backgrounds, but it was the most important driving force that I can remember from my family. And for whatever reason, I was lucky to have those early relationships go well and enjoy them and realize life's a lot more interesting when you have all sorts of different kinds of people in your life. So it's its own reward.
Now, do you ever get asked questions in the affirmative about, you know, how can I do what you did? Or what would you tell parents who wanted to know, how could I do what you've done?
I honestly think the most important part is looking oneself in the mirror and being brutally honest about the nature of your friendship. I do not have close friendships with African-American women that just happened without a fair bit of work and effort. I'm sure on their part, but I can only speak to my side of it.
But also on your part, yes, you do put in the work and the effort, Lauren. You really did.
I do. And it takes time, and you have to put yourself out there sometimes and invite someone to coffee that you might feel a little self-conscious about. Like, I don't know how she's going to receive this invitation. Or another friend, you know, who kind of blew me off 5 or 6 times over a couple of years, but I just sort of kept trying because I thought she was cool. And I could be wrong, but I kind of had a hunch, like, she thinks I'm just some clueless white girl who like likes her because her skin is brown, you know. And that was not, I'm just thinking of one person in particular where she had said something so interesting to me, and I just thought she had the greatest sense of humor, and she just wasn't that interested in me, but I didn't give up, and now we are good friends. I don't know what put race at the middle of things for me, but I, you know, growing up in Atlanta, Georgia, in a world that was very black and white to me at that time, being connected with all the people around me or as many as you could was just important and then really fun and rewarding. You know, that's the part I hope white people don't overlook in all the efforts to, you know, be more authentic around race and be more plugged in and be more, it's like, it's not just an obligation. It's a great way to live.
It's a great way to live. Well, Lauren, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to share with our listeners today. And I am glad that I am your friend. And I have
thank you.
Really enjoyed getting to know your family and your kids. So thank you so much for taking the time this morning.
I am delighted to be here with you, and I'm just honored to even be invited.
You take care, babe. See you soon.
All right, you too.
Bye-bye.